Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, sponsored by Beer 52, where if you fancy a free crate of beer where you only have to pay the postage, visit www.beer52.com/Vic, V-I-C. And today I'm joined, if you're a regular watcher or listener of the show, you'll recognise the chap alongside me. It's Jack, who's a Preston fan, and he was on the last time we played Preston back in December now. Jack, thank you very much for joining me. How's things been? You all good?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being on the show. I'm going down to the game on Saturday. It's a big day for North End supporters with it being Gentry Day, so I think yes. I may be going suited and booted. I'm definitely taking my bowler hat, so looking forward to the day out.
Yeah, one of my close mates from Birmingham's a Preston fan, and he told me that it was that special day. What? Just, I mean, I'm glad you're reminding me actually, because the questions I've got doesn't actually mention that. For those that are listening, thinking, what the hell are you going on about? What is that day, and what does it mean to Preston?
It's a day that North End supporters come together to kind of respect the past and the present of North End. I think it was, I mean, obviously this was before my time, but I think the tradition of the day comes from, I think it was one of the managers referred to Preston North End as the Gentry. It's kind of saying the supporters were the Gentry. They were the gents of the Football League. And ever since then, we've kind of had a day, an away game that has been chosen. Typically, it is, I mean, last one was in Middlesbrough, but typically quite a large part of them have been down in London. And we go out and we'll take our bowler hats. Quite a lot of supporters will go out suited and booted, kind of dressed as you kind of old school gentlemen. And we celebrate the people that have passed through Preston North End in terms of supporters, and it's a good time for North End supporters to reflect, and it's just a really good time, and it's a special occasion for us as North End supporters, and an extra occasion a lot of the time where we haven't in the last 9 years or so had a lot to play for. Come this end of the season, perhaps this year we do, but it's nice to have a little send off away from home because we've always got good travelling support.
Yeah, do you know if you've sold out for this Saturday, or are you close to?
I don't think so. We sold a lot because I was getting a ticket for a girl that's driving us, and I was rushing to get her a ticket a few days ago. So I know that we are close to selling out. I'm not totally sure on the allocation, but we are bringing a good following.
Okay, so it'll be one of the smartest away ends I think Watford fans will be used to in recent times. So that should be something to look forward to if you're going to Vicarage Road and wondering why there's so many smartly dressed people. As I said, you were on this podcast last time round, and we last met in December. Now, Watford did come out on top. We won 5-1, but to be honest, I mean, Preston, I was at the game, and Preston very much dominated the first half, and he obviously went into the break winning 1-0. Will Keane scored. I remember after the game, and I think the game after us, you lost, but then you beat Leeds at home the game after that. But for certainly after our game and then the game after, there was a lot of talk about getting rid of Ryan Lowe. Despite the fact that you were sitting in eighth at the time, like when we beat you 5-1, we jumped up to 31 points, either 2 points or 1 point behind you. What would you say, things have picked up and been a little better since then?
Yeah, they absolutely have. We went for a really sticky patch in the middle part of the season because we made that fantastic start to the year where I think we won seven of our first eight or six of our first seven, and we were top of the league, we're flying high. I think obviously losing 5-1 at home to any side contributed to a bit of negativity. And then the following game we went to Swansea, we conceded a last minute goal there, and after that the whole social media and going to games as well had become a bit of a cesspit in terms of people wanting Ryan Lowe out. But definitely over the last couple of months, we go back to the 13th of January when we beat Bristol City. Since then, we've only lost three of our the last 12. So we've definitely picked up, and a lot of wins in that time as well. So it's got us on the periphery of the playoffs. So he's definitely got the backing of the supporters once more. But I think it's like at any fan base, it isn't a criticism of supporters this, and I don't mean it to be, but any fan base, you've got people that are just going to panic after a run of results where you're on the rough end. People will point out statistics that don't look so pretty, and perhaps won't point out those statistics whilst you're doing well. And I think it's natural, especially social media, it's natural for people to criticise rather than to praise, because you're going to pick up more algorithms and more interactions by kind of having a negative point of view than a positive point of view. And again, I don't mean that to come as a criticism, because I would say I was very vivid in my backing of Ryan Lowe. I wanted him to stay. I said, we need to see it through. I think after that Swansea game, we were still mid-table, whether it be 11th, 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th, it's mid-table, doesn't really matter. And I thought it definitely does not necessitate a sacking for a club like Preston North End. And thankfully, he has picked up. But listen, that comes once or twice a season, especially when you're a mid-table side, because you are going to go on bad runs. And some people would, I'd probably have a sit down and have a beer with the Pozzo family, because they would agree that you can churn out 2-3 managers a season and expect results, where I'm and others are of a different thinking. And I think you've just kind of got to ride out rough moments, especially if you're not locking, you're not staring relegation in the face. You've got to give young managers time to turn it around. And thankfully, Ryan Lowe has, and we're in eighth place, which I don't think any PNA supporters would have expected us to be at the start of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, patience is a virtue, and believe you me, mate, I think a lot of Watford fans were hoping. Well, I say that actually, a lot of Watford fans were hoping at the start of the season that Ishmael was going to be the man to ride out a full season, and he's certainly been one of the managers recently who's been given more of a backing in the Pozzo era compared to previous managers. And then things started to go a bit sour. We obviously started the season brilliantly, 4-0 win against QPR, sorry. And then it was sort of, we've only won two or three games and the season's going on. And then we obviously came to your place, 1-5-1. Then we were back in Lancashire the next week, beat Blackburn 2-1 after going 1-0 down again. And there was a bit of a feel-good factor around the place, and we went on this really good run, and we were sort of maybe looking at sneaking through the back door of the playoffs, and then things went to pot again. So, yeah, I understand the whole wanting to ride the bad results out, and, Ryan Lowe has been a prime example of sticking with a manager, riding it out and still being, up there. Unfortunately for us, the Pozzos just get an itchy trigger finger, and just, yeah, Ismail was gone. And to be honest, yes, I'm disappointed he didn't see the full season out, but I think it was warranted, to be honest. And I think, as you say, so many times in previous seasons where who knows what would have happened if we'd have ridden it out with a manager going through a bad spell. But unfortunately, if you're a manager, you don't get the luxury of that at Watford. But you, something you mentioned, obviously, at the moment, you're sitting in eighth place. You've picked up a further 27 points since we last met. So that means you're on 59 points. You've got a game in hand over Norwich, who are occupying sixth at the moment, and you're 5 points behind them. Are you still gunning for playoffs, or is that dream over now? Now, the only reason I'm asking that, as I mentioned, I've got a very good friend who's a Preston fan, and he texts me after the game on Saturday where you lost to Birmingham, and he said that that's it. Or he might have texted me a couple of weeks ago, actually, saying that he thinks that's it now for the playoffs. It's over. Is that the general feel about the place, or is the feel still no? Absolutely. We got a game in hand. Win that, with 2 points behind. Are you still feeling confident about getting the playoffs?
I'm not so sure about confidence kind of resonating around the fan base. I think there is quite a lot of supporters like your mate from Brummie, and I can see why they're of that thinking, because you do need to kind of to get that sixth spot now, being 5 points behind and having our running. We have got still Southampton, Leicester, West Brom to play, so, and Norwich as well at home. So you kind of got to put a string of victories together. So I can certainly see where he's coming from. But, you know, we go beat Watford, we go beat Huddersfield. We probably, if we win the next two, then that Norwich game becomes huge. And realistically, we probably should be beating Huddersfield at home, and yeah, Watford, we've kind of, I assume now, you've had a little pickup with Tom Cleverley, but maybe kind of on the beach, maybe putting your sandals on, starting to think about putting your sandals and sunglasses on, because you're starting to come out of it with no real danger of relegation, and you're not going to get the playoffs. With it being a bigger game for us, potentially that is one that North End kind of need the target to get 3 points from. So if we can come away two wins, then that Norwich City game becomes massive. So you never know. People would have written us off after losses in December. You never know. And the positive that we had on Easter Monday was that, yes, we lost against Birmingham, but Coventry lost, Norwich lost, Hull lost. So no one gained ground on us. It just stayed exactly the same. So it was a missed opportunity. I can see where the frustration comes from. But I think if your mate and a lot of other supporters kind of reflect over it today, tomorrow, go heading into the game on Saturday, we'll probably think, oh, this Watford game is still relatively big, because we win there, the dream's still alive. So it's anything can happen.
Yeah. Well, this is it. The Championship, as we've seen at the moment, it's, I feel like a lot of people say this every year, but genuinely, the Championship just gets better and better season upon season. I mean, who'd have had Leicester throwing a 15, 17-point gap away on their bingo card? Like, it's absolutely crazy. And the fact that they're now third, so they might not even go up automatically, is crazy. But just going back to the last game, I mean, I usually ask who sort of Watford fans need to look out for. Now, the obvious one would be Will Keane. He scored 12 goals. You've got the... is he a Danish lad? He's got 7 assists. I think it's Mad something. But someone who personally impressed me in the reverse fixture was Liam Miller. And his ability to get the ball into the box, to put the ball on a sixpence for whoever it wants. And that's why I think I was so confused that Will Keane got dragged in the last game. I mean, he'd scored against us, and he seems like someone that's quite a physical presence. So if you've got someone of the capabilities of Liam Miller, who can get the ball in there, Will Keane seems an obvious choice for me to keep on if you're trying to chase a game. Has Liam Miller continued to impress, and is he still one of your big threats, or would you go someone else and be like, no, you boys need to watch out for this guy instead?
Yeah, he's been fantastic, Liam Miller. Hasn't played the two games over the Easter weekend because he's been away with Canada on international duty. So he came on in the last, 25, 30 minutes against Birmingham, and made a decent impact. But no, he's a a good player. I think potentially if he plays this weekend, he'll probably play out on the right-hand side rather than left-wing back because Robbie Brady has been in inspired form. He was probably our best performance in a real drab performance at Birmingham City. So potentially we'll see Liam Miller move out to the right because Brad Potts is still injured. But yeah, I think if there's one man that I'll mention as kind of the danger man, I think it would be Mads Frøkjær. Ever since he's come into the games, so in January 13th, the game I was referring to where the season kind of turned, him and Emil Reese. I can't remember, Emil Reese definitely came on at half time. I can't remember if Frøkjær came on at half time. I think they both came on at half time, two Danish lads. And since then, they've just been fantastic. Reese has been banging in the goals, has looked lethal in front of goal, but it's Mads Frøkjær, the sort of like puppeteer behind him, that just every time he gets the ball, he's just so graceful. And you can see that if he continues to develop and progress, he's not going to be at Deepdale much longer. So he's definitely, I think, the player to kind of watch out for from your perspective.
And where does he operate? Where's his best position?
He plays in the 10, so he plays behind the two strikers, but despite sometimes he's an elegant player and a bit of a flair player and maverick, but he does work hard as well. He will get stuck in and he likes to enjoy that dirty side of the game as well. So he's definitely one to watch out for, and one that I think will, if he's performing, because he didn't perform against Birmingham, but if he's performing, North End's chances of winning just go up and up and up because he's such a fantastic player.
Yeah, it's could be some battle then if he's quite physical. We've got Wesley Hoop back from suspension. He played against West Brom. Ryan Porteous, he's not shy of diving into a tackle, and Francisco Sierra. So it could be some battle on Saturday. But obviously, coming to Vicarage Road for this game, you've highlighted the importance of it. Now, Watford haven't won at home since the 28th of November, so we're yet to win in this calendar year at home, which is it's definitely the worst home record I can remember for some time, and that includes the season a couple of seasons ago when we were relegated from the Premier League. Preston on the road this year have picked up 25 points from 19 away games. What differences can we expect to see, like seeing Preston at home and then seeing them away? Is there a big difference in the style of play, how you operate? What's obviously you're coming into the back of it off a 1-0 loss against Birmingham City, but believe me, we've been there. Gary Rowett's first stint at Blues, his first home game was against us. We lost 2-1, but we went up that season, so we know all about being shithoused against Gary Rowett's Birmingham side in his first home win, first home game. So, yeah, how do you expect to, like, what do you set up like away from home?
Well, our first son, Gary Rowett, is an absolutely horrible manager to play against. Preston North End have played Gary Rowett 14 times and we've never beaten Gary Rowett, which is unbelievable. And I think that's when he was probably the number one name on most people's shortlist when people were saying that Ryan Lowe potentially should go. Most people were saying Gary Rowett because we've never seen him have a bad performance. He's just a horrible, ugly manager that just gets his sides to defend in deep and snatch results against us. So yeah, no, I think he's a good manager. But yeah, anyway, going back on to the question, I think it's quite a difficult one actually, because I think we've been pretty good away from home at times and pretty good at home at times as well. But I think the main difference is when you go away from home, North End aren't expected to have the ball and won't share the lion's share of possession. The home team usually are going to do that, especially a team like Watford. I expect that you will kind of get hold of the ball. You've got some big players in your team compared to ours. And North End operate better when we don't have the ball. So if we're asked to have the ball, like we do a lot of the time when we're at home, and we're asked to kind of pick locks and, you know, create chances, we're not so good at that because we're not particularly a possession-based side. We're very good at playing in transition, getting the ball and quickly attacking and playing that sort of transitional football. So I think that's why we have picked up some really good results away from home, because we haven't been expected to have the ball and then we can kind of hit teams on the break. But I still think it's going to be a really difficult game at Vicarage Road, because despite your season, as I say, you've got you've got some fantastic players there. And ultimately, that's why Ismail paid the price, because Watford, yes, you are having a bit of a turnover this season. Perhaps the expectations weren't as big as previous years in the Championship, but it's still, in my opinion, a top six side. There's still a lot of quality in that side that you pay quite a bit of money for. So, I think it is going to be a difficult encounter. But I haven't seen much of Tom Clark. I watched a game against Leeds, and obviously that's not a fair reflection of how you're going to play against Northend, because Leeds are probably one of the best, if not the best side in the league. But if he is going to want his team and Watford to kind of hold on to the ball, then I think that will suit us, because we will like to press up high and get in your faces and then turn the ball over quickly.
Yeah, I think it's quite ironic, actually, because Watford fans have said that the way that Cleverley's set us up, I know we've only had three games with him, but it's how we expected Ismail to set us up. You know, like Ismail at Barnsley was very much high intensity, direct, in your face, didn't give you a moment to breathe. And I mean, Clevesy's first game against Birmingham was an absolute stinker. It was two absolutely turgid teams, but we just about come out on top. But I think at that point it was get the result first, worry about the performance in a couple of games' time. And then we play Leeds, all expecting the worst. Leeds, I had a Leeds fan on here, and he said that they very much, I think they've actually got the most goals from transition or in the percentage-wise, I think he said, in the league. And we completely took the game to them, and we were aggressive. One thing which really wound up Watford fans was, with Ismail, it was this slow tempo and the slow build-up. So we would knock the ball about at the back and then try and build up that way. Whereas Cleverley now has just stopped that. We don't pass it around the back as much anymore. And we're very direct, very on the front foot, and very sort of high pressing at times as well. So it does sound like it could be quite a closely contested game. And I mean, it does worry me a bit. Obviously, you've got your special day in the away end, and you boys are gunning for it, and only 5 points behind playoffs. You know, it could be a real carnival atmosphere in that away end. So that could be something to spur you on. And like I said, you know, we've not won since the 28th of November at home. And yes, we had a good result against Leeds at home, but ultimately it was still a draw, and we're still winless this calendar year. So I think if Preston score early doors, that's where you're going to get your joy. Possibly Watford fans moaning and groaning. However, again, to caveat that, things have been a lot brighter with Cleverley. I think because it is Cleverley and he's a club legend and he's been with the club, albeit in two spells, since he was a young lad, he gets the club, he understands what's required to play for Watford, the importance of it and everything else. So, yeah, it could be quite an interesting game. But one thing that I wanted to highlight, you mentioned it earlier, the run of form you're on. You've lost only two in your last 10. However, it was quite noticeable. Those two losses have come against other struggling sides in the Championship. So Birmingham on Saturday, and then the other loss was Stoke. Do you tend to struggle more against the so-called lesser sides or the teams lower down the table? Is that a mentality thing, or is it just coincidence? Because it was quite interesting to see, you know, the run of form you're on, and it's those two who you've lost to.
I think it comes back to the thing I previously said, that typically the sides down to the bottom of the division aren't really wanting to play pretty stuff. They aren't really wanting to get hold of the ball. So they're kind of saying, right, go on then, Brownie and Co., you look after the ball, let's see what you can do. And we are not so good at that. I'm not sure whether we work on patterns of play in training. I don't know. But we definitely are better at just kind of playing that aggressive kind of, as soon as we win it, let's get it forward sort of tempo. So obviously against Birmingham City, they didn't want the ball. So it was a bit different when we got hold of it, and we just went up at the races for that one. And then the Stoke City one, we struggle against the ugly kind of attritional sides. It's why we've struggled against Gary Rowett's sides. It's why we've struggled against Millwall sides in the past. We find it hard to play against those sides that play probably a similar style to us, because then we come at kind of a, you're kind of locked against each other, and you In the end, you're just waiting for a mistake to happen, which happened against Stoke, and then it happened against Birmingham. And, you know, I probably either of those games could have gone either way. Probably both Birmingham and Stoke edged a game, but it was only a mistake, and that's the reason they won it. So, yeah, you could say that, but if one of the sides down in the bottom end of the division, I think about like a Swansea City, will look to play decent stuff because that's the Swansea DNA. We typically would play better against a Swansea side or a Ross Martin side and a Southampton or whatnot because we were able to get into them, but that's not a guarantee.
No. Well, it sounds like it could be quite a thrilling spectacle, which is something to be said considering how our season's been. Sounds like it could be an interesting one. Now, in terms of the game on Saturday, are there any injuries from Preston's side that we should be aware of?
We're crippled. We're absolutely crippled at the moment.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this is partly down to the reason why we lost to Birmingham. We started with young Noah Mweni in midfield. Now, I'm not putting any blame on his shoulders. I think he did well in his first professional start for North End. But we had a young 19-year-old who's part of the academy graduate, which is quite rare for North End. We're not like some of these other sides that kind of bring through academy players. We're a Cat C academy or a Cat 3 academy, whichever it's called now. So we're kind of like the third level of academy. So we don't kind of get the funding for the best young players in the area. So in terms of players out injured at the moment, we've got Brad Potts, who is being pretty integral at right wing. That plays pretty much every minute. Alan Brown has been ill. Ryan Ledson's been injured. Ben Wyman is currently out injured. He's supposed to be back before the end of the season. Jordan Story's picked up a slight knock. So, especially centrally in midfield, which is where Noah Mweni had to play, we were looking really short on Monday because we were looking around and we had to put him on the pitch. And he did quite well. But yeah, now in terms of injuries, five or six, which is probably the most we've had this year. We've been quite lucky, but it's just a shame that it's kind of coming at the running where you want to pick up results, you want to have your best 11 available. Because I think if we've got our best 11 available, we beat a lot of sides in this league, but you kind of go deeper down in the side and we've got, you know, players that perhaps aren't as good. But we will see. Hopefully, they've had a five-day rest before Watford, so hopefully we can bring a few back before then.
Yeah, well, that's potential weaknesses in terms of what Watford can look out for. In terms of the areas where you're currently most dangerous, what do Watford need to watch out for?
Again, just kind of coming back to the previous point about Mads Frøkjær getting on the ball, and if he can start dictating the tempo and he can get touches on the ball with not a lot of pressure around him, then he is going to have a field day. Because he just sees things. He's one of those players, he just sees things that a lot of other players on the pitch don't see. And if he can get the ball into Reece and Will Keane, who typically have been pretty clinical this season, they get a chance, they usually take it. So if he can start getting on the ball and you are not putting pressure on Mads Frøkjær and you're allowing him to dictate things, then I think that Vicarage Road will be worried. But if you can kind of mark him out of the game and keep him quiet like Birmingham did on Monday, then you may be on to the winning recipe.
There we go. Well, last but not least, you said you go into the game, and I'm going to get all sorts of stick for reeling off this stat here now, but your score prediction. But before I say that, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the last time Watford lost at home to Preston was back in 2005. So I knew it was quite a while ago. I didn't quite think it was that long ago. We lost 2-1 that day. Darius Henderson scored for Watford. And of course, David Nugent scored against Watford because why wouldn't he? He always did, no matter who he played for. And then Dixon Atuhu scored the other goal for Preston as they ran out 2-1 winners. I don't know if you're aware of that, Jack, but I mean, to be honest, the form that you boys are in at the moment, I'd imagine you're feeling pretty confident. What would you go scoreline wise?
What would I go scoreline wise? I think I'm gonna be confident. I'm gonna think that kind of Watford are gonna have their sandals and sunglasses on, and we're gonna go for it. So I'm gonna go 2-1 to North End. I do fancy us, especially with a strong away following. I think we keep our season alive with a 2-1 win.
I understand that. You know, like you say, I think we are safe. We've got nothing to play for in terms of staying up, going up. I mean, Cleves has come out in an interview, and I think the interviewer asked him on Monday after the West Brom game, you'd take a point from the games against Leeds and West Brom, wouldn't you? And he says, well, no, not really. We want to win. So, you know, his mentality's right there. And I don't think for 1 minute he'll try and set us up to be like, just go out and play. And, you know, if we win, we win. If we draw, we draw. I think he will want us to go for it. And there has been that shift in mentality on the pitch. So I think it's going to be a close game. But I just think with the following that you'll bring, bit of a party atmosphere. You boys are close now in terms of the playoffs. It'd be a very Watford thing to do. And I mean this with no disrespect to Preston, but it would be a very Watford thing to do, where we've just got away with not losing against Leeds and West Brom, and then losing to Preston. So, yeah, I mean, personally, I think we might see another draw under Cleves. He's got one win and two draws under his belt from the three games he's managed so far. So I would probably say it might be 1-1. Who knows? We might even have another 2-2, and that'd be three in a row. Some sort of record, probably. But I think it's going to be quite a close game from what you've said, and how we've been in the last couple of games as well. And, you know, with your injury crisis, if you have to start that young lad in midfield. But then you've got the Danish lad as well. There could be some really interesting battles on that pitch on Saturday. So it's one that I'll be gutted on missing, which is a shame. I've not missed many games this season being able to watch them, but I've got menu tasting for my wedding, so I can't get out of that one, unfortunately. I think the missus would kill me. So yeah, well I. Other than Saturday, I mean, I hope the gentry day goes well in terms of off the pitch. On the pitch, I hope it's a horrendous day, Jack. I really do. And I mean that as nicely as possible. But I'd love to see Preston in the playoffs. I mean, we were in the playoffs back in 2005-06 season. And, you know, like I say, one of my best mates is a Preston fan. So for him as well, if he listens to this, I hope you boys do make the playoffs, and it will certainly make it interesting. But thank you very much for joining me tonight, Jack. And we might not get to speak next season. Depends how the end of the season goes for you, and if the playoffs do come. But we might speak next season, but we might not. But thanks very much for joining me tonight, Jack.
Cheers, Mike. I'm pretty confident we won't be going on to the Premier League. Even if we do get the playoffs, we'll have to play whoever's third place when a good side over two legs. But so I'm pretty sure we'll see you next year.
we'll see. But if you've enjoyed this video, don't forget to hit the like button at the bottom and hit that subscribe button. I think when I checked earlier, bearing in mind we're recording on Wednesday evening, I think we're only 5 subscribers off the magic 500 mark. So if we can get that before the weekend, let alone before the end of the season, that'd be great. But in terms of the post-match reaction, I think it will be one of the other guys that will be doing it. As I say, I'm not going to be watching. So we'll be back on Sunday evening. But thanks for watching, guys. And come on, you horns. Sports Social Podcast Network.